This is episode number
83.
Are you ready for some meatball?
Dub Bears.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Meatball Composer, episode 83. And if you're in on the gag, you're in on the gag. Thanks for listening. Boy, we got a big weekend coming up. The Bears are alive for a playoff spot. They either have to beat Green Bay or have the Rams beat the Cardinals. Personally, I think the latter is more likely, but... hey, they got a shot. They control their destiny. After the 6-game losing skid, who would have thought this was possible? Not me. I went from 5-1, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, to 5-7. They're not. Fire everyone. They're bad. Blah, blah, blah. And then they go back to Mitch. Nagy, swallows his pride and lets Laser run the offense and call plays that cater to Mitch's strengths. And... they've had a good offense the last 4 weeks, so what a weird year in many ways. 2020 is, wow, unforgettable and crazy. And anyway, to talk about the Bears and their playoff hopes, going to bring in Mark Jansen here, and we're going to talk about it and see what we think we can expect Sunday. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Let's do this. We are approaching week 17 of the NFL season. And actually, on one level, I'm kind of surprised we made it this far with the pandemic and everything. But
true.
Week 17, and the Bears are still playing relevant football. So let's talk about the Bears with Mark. How you doing, Mark?
I am good, my friend. Hanging in there.
Happy merry belated Christmas.
Yes, it was a good Christmas.
And early Happy New Year.
It's hopefully will be a better year.
This year. Oh, come on. How could it be worse? Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that. We don't want to even go there. So, yeah, week 17, the Bears are still relevant.
They are.
How often has this happened? Not often.
Twice in my life. No, five times in my life? I don't know. Not very often. An appalling lack of frequency for this. And I don't want to set the bar too low, because I want to be a Super Bowl organization, but it is nice to have meaningful football down to the end of the season.
And it's fun. Isn't it more fun this way?
Yeah, it's stressful, but it's a fun week of building up.
I can't be one of those fans that's like, oh, no, now you ruin your chances of getting a better draft pick. This stinks, fire everything. That's not fun. It's fun to be relevant.
It's a tricky thing, because I totally resonate with the people who are like, tank for a QB. To get a QB, it's the best way usually. But the teams that perpetually tank usually still stink.
Yeah.
The Chiefs got Mahomes, and they were a playoff team anyway.
Right.
It's actually not really that applicable to the NFL. And I know we're going to talk about them later, but I blame the Cubs for the Chicago fans all thinking that tanking is always the answer. It might be the answer for the Bulls, because they can't attract a free agent to save their lives. But yeah, the Cubs pulled it off. Most of the time when organizations are bad like that, they're just bad forever in the NFL. Look at the Browns. They might not make the playoffs after all is said and done. Still, the Lions right there in the division. They got the QB, can't get the rest. It's just not that simple in the NFL. More to the point for this year, though, 5-1 ruined your chance at Lawrence, which means there's no point tanking because the rest of them are all talented question marks.
Yeah, and
so, like, why would you tank at that point? And then – you're not going to get your QB at 12 that you want probably anyway. So, like, you might as well pick 18th. I don't know how else to put it. Those guys are all going to be gone.
And I was thinking, too, how many times in my life has there been, like, the one, this is the guy, can't miss, he's going to be great, and he's going to go first in the draft, blah, 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 blah. I can only think of that happening one time in my lifetime.
Three total.
Three, okay. Well, the one in my lifetime, or our lifetime, is Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah, Andrew Luck was that way too.
But Andrew Luck never, I mean, he's retired now.
No, but I'm saying going into the draft, it was the can't miss prospect to the same level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
still, there's not enough to, I mean, it's very rare.
And he never, but he never lived up to that hype. I mean, he was a good quarterback. Rodgers
wasn't that way. Look, the future MVP, one of the two of them, were not picked in the top 10. Well, Mahomes was 10th. So it's possible to do this without tanking that bad. However, I've also gone for this narrative at times, if I'm honest, like when they were losing six straight and it seemed like the best thing they could do is get the highest pick for the best QB possible. Because you're reacting to what the Bears are doing and it's hard not to. And they've been three, as we said the other day, different teams this year. Mm-hmm. So they're hard to figure out. But the bottom line is I resonate with anyone who's sick of football purgatory. But I can think of too many examples where tanking in the NFL didn't accomplish anything. So I don't know. Play it out. Have fun. I think you're right. But it's, I hate the purgatory stuff too. So I don't know.
We could do a whole show sometime on the first round quarterbacks that were terrible. We got the first picks. Yeah.
Top 10 picks who stunk.
Yeah.
In the last millennia.
Since not even that. Last decade.
That's fine.
Yeah, I just
but I really wanted to talk Tim Couch, Chris.
Yes, exactly.
There, and now I have.
Achilles Smith on line one. Yeah. So, okay, so the Bears, week 17, we're going in, and they have a pretty good shot to make the playoffs. I believe the last percentage, whoever does these, put them at 82%.
Yeah, 538, the website that's really good for this, I think had them at 82 or 83, one of the
83.
Two.
By the way, this is episode 83.
Oh, yeah. We're going to spam Combs. That recording every yes. little bit. Go to commercial break, and it's all just you spamming that button and come back. Yeah. I guess that's based on how tough the Cardinals' opponent this week is and how the Bears do have a chance to win their game as well, and the Cardinals really – they shot themselves in the foot losing to the Niners, just like the Bears did losing to the Lions a few weeks back. And now the Bears are in the driver's seats. So that's not at all what we thought when they lost six straight.
Now that percentage is that high because of the Cardinals game, right? I mean,
it's got to be. There's no way anyone thinks the Bears are 80% chance to beat the Packers.
Nope. Can they beat the Packers? Can they? What do they have to do to beat Green Bay? Because on the surface, the way Rodgers is playing – the way the Bears defense has played lately, no way are they going to beat Green Bay, right?
No. I mean,
but how can they? How can they? Let's make this happen. Let's try to figure out how the Bears can win this game Sunday, which has been moved to 325, by the way.
Sunday by the Rams winning. The Bears can win. I'll tell you two things that terrify you when you play the Packers that's not going to surprise anybody. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
And they are not blitzable. You can't blitz Rodgers. So we've been mad all year at Pagano, and I still think he's the guy they're going to fire, and they should. I think he stinks at confusing his opposing coaches. Bottom line, doesn't scheme. So they talk now in the NFL, like the scouts and stuff, and like guys that come on Hogan Johns and on different podcasts I listen to and wherever, that you have to scheme your edge rushers open from time to time, almost like receivers. Now they can beat their guy one-on-one too, but some of those high sack games, it's TJ Watt comes free on a stunt kind of stuff. And you just don't see that nearly enough from the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the first answer. You have to get to Rodgers with just four. As much as I've been annoyed at the lack of blitzing other games, you can't blitz Rodgers. He absolutely massacres blitzes.
Yep.
He does. Like
I know. Yeah.
That's the guy you can't blitz. So now you know Pagano's going to blitz like half the snaps.
Well, he's got to do something.
He needs to stunt way more. They gotta get guys moved around a bit. They got to confuse the linemen if they can. You really pretty much can't confuse Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think they got to stop the run, which they've been really bad about. Even yes, to back have. Up nobodies on Jacksonville. Gosh. Green Bay's good, man. That we said at the start of the year we thought they were going to regress. That was wrong.
Dead wrong.
They're good. Because Rodgers had a big bounce back. I mean, he was nowhere near this good last year, no matter what anyone wants to say.
He's going to be MVP too.
He's going to be the MVP. He's going to end up, depending on the Bears game, with 45 to 47, 48 touchdowns and five interceptions unless the Bears get him. I mean, it's either him or Mahomes. And last year he wasn't even in the discussion. He was just efficient and he wasn't taking risks and they didn't score many touchdowns. You know, like that's why they drafted Love. They thought he was slowing down. Mm-hmm. And then he has this resurgence and now you're like, okay, they're the best team in the NFC. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right now they're the best team in the NFC.
Until Sunday, my friend.
Dumb Bears. So
he's outplayed Mahomes, in my opinion, by quite a bit.
I think
so
too. I think he's the MVP.
If you take him off the Packers, they're not fighting for the number one seed. And if, like you said, the Chiefs were already a playoff team without Mahomes. So I think Rodgers.
You could put just about any QB there and they'd have a darn good year. Yeah. I mean, Mahomes is special, but he's also in a special situation. Rodgers has Adams in a running game and he makes everybody else look great too. Like that tight end came out of nowhere. He's great.
Yeah. And tossing dimes in the snow the other night. It's like, man, that's just disgusting.
Tossing dimes in the snow. Faster killing everyone than we wish he'd lose. He's back to being the freaking God that we are used to. And I just don't see the Bears beating him if they can't get to him with four. So this game, the Bears win it if Mack and Quinn and Hicks are do what they're paid to do. And we just have not seen that enough.
But yeah.
And then they got to take care of the ball on offense and have long sustained drives.
You know, I went back and was watching some of the Jaguars game, and on defense, Mack was getting pressure, but man, Hicks just wasn't. And Quinn wasn't either. Hicks has got to be hurt because he was not getting any pressure at all on the statue that is Mike Glennon.
And we know he's better than that. So these guys got to be healthy and they got to be effective, or I think the Bears are in for another long game.
Yeah. But man, this is the game to show off where all the money's been invested, you know?
Right. This is why they did that. They're like, well, we don't have the QB. We're going to have to beat them with a pass rush. So that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Now, how ironic they could Bears could lose like 38-28 or something like that, you know?
Here's a question for you. We'll come back to the hold the ball point. But when's the last time you went into a Bears-Packers game and you felt better about the Bears offense than the defense? And do you?
Oh boy, I do. Sure
you do. Yeah, okay.
Great. I do, but I can't remember. Ooh.
Part of that is the Packers' defense is average and their offense is excellent. So like, there's that part of it. I don't know that I've ever gone into the game. Even maybe the Trestman era. There had to be a Trestman.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
because of how bad that defense was.
Oh, that was horrible defense. Yeah. Yeah, and they did beat the Packers once in the Trestman era, I think, but that was the Shea McClellan busting Rodgers collarbone.
Which, I mean, the Bears are 4-18 in the last 22 games with Green Bay. Their avenue to win is very narrow, and Green Bay has like 100 ways to win this game. They can pound the rock with their three-headed Cerberus monster back there at running back now.
Yeah, seriously. Although we got, what's his name, Pierce now. It's like,
yeah, who? All right. And Null, he's coming for you, Green Bay.
He's scampering into the end zone, and I'm like, yeah, my God. Oh, who is that? Pierce? Who the heck is this? Well, anyway.
Yeah. Great little Wildcat play there.
So, pressure from the front four. Got to get turnovers.
You don't turn Rodgers over otherwise, and you probably can't turn him over anyway, but you can't beat him if you don't rough him up with the front four and be able to have everybody else in coverage.
This would be a nice game to have an Eddie Jackson INT also, maybe two.
No, he's done doing that.
Oh.
He put that in that's in the contract next to not tackling anymore.
Oh, gosh. He's
I'm telling you, I know we all love Eddie. He's had the worst year out of any of the big paid Bears. I don't care what anyone says about Mac. He's still getting close. He's still getting held. Quinn's been really bad, but he had that weird injury. I think I'm more disappointed in Eddie. I mean, Quinn's been just as bad, I guess. But I'm disappointed in Eddie. Big time bad down year. There for a while, no one threw on him. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh, we can throw on him. I need Eddie back. That would be big.
I do wonder if part of that is the system that
I do too. Pagano's I'm not giving up on Eddie. I am definitely giving up on his coach. But
You said Matt getting Mac getting in there and getting held, and that just reminded me that Bakhtiari is going to hold Mac all day and get away with it.
He's going to hold anyone. Well, can we wait on the refs for a minute, though? I know we have to do that. I do. I
the 12th man.
Yeah. But the other key to winning, I yes. think, is sustained drives, which the offense has been very good at lately.
Mm-hmm.
This defense is better than the ones they've been playing, but it's not that much better than, say, the Minnesota defense.
Okay.
So if they can sustain drives, that does the whole keep Rodgers off the field bit. But I expect the defense to come into the game tired, if you catch my drift. No, yes. So those are my two keys, and I'm not very optimistic about really either of them, but
yeah.
It's possible the Bears could do it.
They could, but yeah. And, you know, if they do somehow win this game, then they're going to play either New Orleans or Green Bay again, first round in the playoffs. So it's like, oh, we got to do this again.
Here's your reward.
the weird, interesting way all this works out is if the Bears win and the Cardinals win, then the Bears actually get the sixth seed,
yep.
which would keep them away from New Orleans or Green Bay.
And they'd play for a while.
But then you got to run into the Seahawks, who look good again.
No, because if we win, we'd give the Seahawks the one if they win. Because Green Bay would
have
a tiebreaker. So then we'd be playing – and the Saints would have the tiebreaker head-to-head. We'd be playing Green Bay.
Son of a gun. All right, so we just can't escape it. We're going to have – if they're going to make any kind of playoff push, they got to beat Green Bay twice.
For every other year of my Bears fandom life, the Bears aren't going anywhere without going through Green Bay, just like always. And the few times they've had seasons, they did go through Green Bay. So figure out a way to beat Green Bay is obviously too simple,
mm-hmm.
but it's still true. Like, either way, if they're a contender, they got to win the division and get a home playoff game, right? That's the normal scenario. Or if they're the wild card team, they're going to have to beat Green Bay on the road. You know, I mean, wake me up when the Packers are bad for several straight seasons and I'll change that thought. But for now, it's been my experience in years.
Yeah. Seriously, it's been the 80s since they've been bad consistently.
I guess I'd really rather not play them twice in a row, though.
Yeah.
That just seems like you're asking for it with how smart Rodgers is.
Now, do you think it's possible that the defense this last week maybe was not giving it their all early on just because maybe. It was Jacksonville and
maybe
they weren't going at 100%?
I think it's possible that they slept walk a little bit, but they said all the right things, whatever that's worth. I think it's more just that they're banged up where it matters up front, and that if these guys come into this game banged up again, that's a big problem. Fully healthy, that front could give the Packers trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've seen it fully healthy for some time.
Yeah. I can already see Davante Adams cutting across the middle of the field with Danny Trevathan 3 yards behind him.
Yep.
You know.
And you know the Bears aren't going to put Fuller on him, even though that, like, other teams would just have a spy.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, too. You know who the Packers don't want to play? The Rams.
Hmm.
The one defense that can give them fits with Donald, and then they always have Ramsey just follow the best receiver around. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's funny how much the Rams figure into all of this. But I think the Bears are – I think they're not in good shape for this game. I think their best hope is that the Rams defense beats the Cardinals for them, because I guess we should mention that scenario.
Yeah. Jared Goff probably not going to play because he had surgery on his thumb.
Does that even matter? He's so bad half the time. I can't believe he doesn't get as much crap as Trubisky gets.
Naturally. Yeah. Mitch has been better.
Awful at least half of his games. And then he's like – when he's good, he's probably better than Mitch. But I think when he's bad, he's worse. If that makes sense.
No, it does. So yeah.
Could this guy that comes in and they run, you know, they're going to coach that well. That kid's going to have the right offense running with McVay coaching.
Mm.
What's his name? Wolford?
Wolford. No relation to Donnell Wolford, apparently.
This Wofford's going to beat the Cardinals for the Bears. Woffman. I could see them winning that game because there's no tape on this guy. McVay's going to scheme up something good, and their defense is elite and probably pretty pissed off at how they've been playing, and they have a bounce back defensively. Murray's banged up, and the Cardinals haven't been playing well anyway. Yeah. I think that's more likely than mostly healthy Bears beating the mostly healthy Packers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, back into the playoffs. 8-8. Bring them all back. Woo!
And then if Green Bay gets the one seed, you face New Orleans. And I do think the Bears have a better shot against New Orleans.
That's got to be the team we want, right?
Of those two?
Out of the three, absolutely. Out of the three, add the Seahawks to make it interesting.
Yeah, at this point.
I guess their QB, Wilson's playing a lot better than Breeze. The Saints have Kamara, but they could stop. I mean, the Saints could run all over the Bears defense based on what we've seen lately too, because they got the two-headed monster going on. But yeah, anyway, that's a topic for another day if we get in, I guess.
Yeah. So next week we'll talk about the Bears facing the Saints.
There we go. We'll do it whether they made it or not. We're going to finish the conversation.
Right.
You can imagine if they did. All right, who are you picking? Bears, Packers? You got any other analysis we need to do first?
I really, 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 really want to pick the Bears, of course, but I just can't. So.
Oh my gosh, he's the meatball composer? No I more? Know. What are you having, zucchini noodles instead of normal pasta with the bread or something? Like, what's going on here?
With the, cauliflower smashed potatoes. All right. I'm going to go Green Bay 34, Bears 23.
I'll buy the offense a little more than you and say it's Green Bay 38. I really have no faith in how the D's been playing, and I hope I'm wrong. And the Bears 27.
Okay.
Where if the defense had done anything, they'd play a little – they'd have had a chance.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too much of a downer on the D right now, but I just don't see anybody but Roquan playing up to their potential. And maybe Mac, but he doesn't finish the sacks here lately. And he's hurt too. He's got the shoulder thing.
Yeah,
they just don't look right up front, and I don't think they can win the game unless they're right up front.
Yeah, every play that I was looking at where Glennon dropped back to pass, you would see Mac collapse his side of the line, but Hicks was not moving anyone. Quinn was not moving anyone.
Quinn got close a couple times, but he never finishes a sack either, twice. They're just not getting home. Yeah. And the thing is, that pressure beats bad QBs because pressure works. Rodgers is just going to move around and do his wizard bull crap, and they're going to give up third and long. It's just not going to be good enough what we've seen to stop Rodgers. It has to be the 2018 pass rush, and that could happen, but it's not very likely.
No, and I just don't like how the secondary plays under Pagano. I just don't.
The cushion's too big all the time.
Yeah, it's just too soft. It's worse than the Lovey, just don't let him get behind you kind of thing. And then you're going to keep throwing the ball and eventually we're going to take it away.
That's kind of what he's trying to do, but they're just not getting the takeaway.
No, they can't do it.
I've said it 100 times. He's just not out scheming anyone.
Nope.
He just isn't. And it's irritating because the talent's still good. It's just not as good as it was by age, I guess. I mean, Roquan's better than he was. I'll take Jalen Johnson over Prince if he's healthy.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen if he's going to play or not?
I think Pagano's got to go, and I think a game like that will be how he goes too. And I got to admit, man, maybe it's my fault or something, but I can't shake just how easy they put up 41 last game. They could have put up 56 if they wanted to. It was just 14 points, 21 points. You get a wide open Devontae Adams. It's just like,
in the snow.
It was so easy for them. And I know the Bears could make it a little harder this week, but a little harder is still going to be 30-plus points.
Now, I'm not saying the Packers would not have won had they not gotten some favorable officiating.
Oh, yes. We do.
But there were some egregious blown calls or made-up calls that went the Packers' way. The offsides on the blocked field goal.
Yeah, I quickly gave up on that game after that play. But even just seeing the memes from it, like the guy with the picture with the big fat red line, and there's no one even near it. Like, that
stepping
is
out
unreal.
Of bounds with the ref right in front of him.
Yeah, that was the other one. Those were the two. I don't understand it because the scholar, right, the critical thinker in me wants to say, oh, I'm just being a Bears homer, and just because they're our rivals. And then I'm like, no, this happens every time I try to watch one of their games, unless they're playing the Niners, who just seem to beat the tar out of them twice last year, but it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Bucks did that this year. But I'm like, now you know, Titans fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is a thing, and I sent you the data on that.
Yeah.
They blow the rest of the league out of the water on third downs given to them via penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like fifth in the opposite stat for a defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not just in our heads. It's a real thing. And it's been years of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you who would sympathize: the Lions fans. They understand this pain with the Packers and the refs.
Yeah, as much as the Bears fans have been,
they might have as
hurt. I think that's very much so. I mean, consider the games where the Lions were winning for 60 minutes and still lost.
Crazy. And I don't want to go into a game saying, oh, we got to beat the refs too. But I mean, the bottom line is, when you play the Packers, somehow they get a lot of favorable calls.
Yeah, there's going to be a third and long pass interference that keeps a drive
going. There's
going
to be a hold that they don't call that would have ended the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mac's going to get held all day. And
that offside was ridiculous, though.
That was the worst.
If there's a play that bad, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, even Al and Chris in the booth were like, and Collinsworth was trying so hard to see the penalty, but finally he even had to say, no, I don't.
Yeah, and you then, know it's bad when Chris Collinsworth, who's done everything but try to take Rodgers out to dinner on a first date, is like, hey, that's bogus. You know, like, you know it's bad.
He kept talking about it. He kept talking about Rodgers' muscular legs and how much he can leg press. Like, dude, man, like, save it for, you know, commercials or something.
Keep it PG, Chris. Yeah,
but even he was like,
well, both of you,
even he was like, well, you know, we're not on the field, we can't see those. And finally he caved, and then they brought in, you know, Terry McCulley, and he just flat out said, I have no idea why they called this offside.
I know exactly what happened there.
I mean, I know that the Titans did score a touchdown on that drive eventually, but man, that was a shift in the game.
Like, what do you ascribe this phenomenon to?
Well, considering that Brady always gets favorable calls too, I think it's just because of the quarterback.
I think it's years of having good QB play conditions of the refs to favor them, even if they don't mean to sometimes. Although some of those were so blatant. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like roughing the passer and stuff like that, it's because he's a great QB. He's going to get the call.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen a rookie get just leveled and they don't call it because he doesn't have the cachet yet?
Did you see the roughing on Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
The defender even like shot his arm straight out, like a, you know, like a making a T.
Personal foul
and chest bumping
the QB. You know, it's like, what are we going to stop this nonsense?
Yeah.
Head to head, get it out of the game. Try not to take out their knees, sure. But that's the other one I hate, though, because they'll be blocked into it and they'll go low because they got pushed and they'll call a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's different than a guy just diving at a knee. Same thing with helmet to helmet when like a safety goes to make a tackle and his shoulder and helmet would be more like torso, but then the runner goes low and then it's helmet to helmet. I'm like, that's what's the defender supposed to do?
Right. Level him like Fuller did.
So, yeah, there's Bears, Packers, refs.
Yeah. Toughest game of the year for the
that
Bears.
That said, they're really good and they don't need the refs to beat the Bears.
They do not. They do not. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that
the Bears. Either. I just want to be clear to the, you know, the audience here. Like, if we lose, it won't just be because of refs.
No, the ref thing is like salt in the wound.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a cause. So, yeah. Lions. We got to talk some Lions. I got to
do one over under with you first. Over under times we see the amount of QBs different teams have had graph.
Oh, I think twice, once each half.
So, okay, fair enough. I'll go with that.
Over under 1.5.
Did you know, Chris, that the Bears haven't had a QB like Favre and Rodgers ever? Tell
what?
Me more.
The heck you say?
Who was drafted after Mitch Trubisky? Wow, this broadcast is revolutionary.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the guys, he's not playing for the playoffs, one of them.
Oh, his team's terrible and they don't even have their draft pick.
And their star defensive player called out the whole team the other day. but
and he's just overrated, though really good.
Yes, that's good. That's the interesting thing about Watson. He's overrated and he's good.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
All right. So you were going to say something about our.
Yeah, we got. You know, I've been scouring, looking for some good Lions Twitter stuff, and you know, when the Lions are really bad and it's obvious and everyone knows it, I actually feel some compassion and empathy for the Lions fans because no one's talking trash. Lions Twitter is really the most fun when they're like, you know, in a situation the Bears are in, like 8-7, could win a wild card, and yeah, here we go, you know, and then start trash talking, you know, how terrible the Bears are.
When the Lions fans get their moment of euphoria and forget they're the Lions.
Yeah, so there hasn't been that much of that lately, but I did find a couple nice little things here. Here on Twitter, this is the handle Sports Gym Show. He said, my only wish is that I could sell paper bags to those cardboard cutouts at Ford Field.
Ouch.
I thought that would be interesting to see paper bags on the cutouts, you know.
There you go.
These are all obviously, you know, during the when they got blown out by the Patriots. No, not the Patriots. Buccaneers. I still think I think Patriots, you know, what's going to happen, I think.
They are in the news for cutting their starting safety for violating team rules, whatever that means.
Who is?
The Lions.
Oh, I have not seen this.
Apparently, Robert Saleh is the head candidate. I think he's the guy in San Francisco.
Oh.
You're right, though. It's like my friend on Facebook. You know, it's like really hard to pick on the Lions when they're back to knowing they're the Lions. It's like, okay, you've been humbled, little brother. You just stay down there, and we don't have to mock you anymore.
Here was another now you know moment. This is Thunder Michigan Lions fan on Twitter. He said, the fact that Patricia lost to Chase Daniel when he was a Bear is mind-boggling.
That's a good one.
Yes. Now you know, Lions fans, because, oh, my gosh, the rest of the country was, well, the Bears should play Chase Daniel. He's going to be, you know, he knows the system better than Trubisky. Oh, we should really go with Chase Daniel. And, you know, here we are. We've seen him a couple times and know he's awful. But yeah, now the Lions fans know firsthand, and to see them scratching their heads like, how in the heck did this guy beat us?
Yeah, it warmed my heart a little bit. So. I have a couple thoughts from their Reddit just for fun.
Yes.
All right. First off, did you know they have one wide receiver under contract next year?
Oh.
And it's not Kenny Galladay.
Oh.
That's pretty interesting.
Is it Herman Moore?
Yes, he's got a lifetime deal. It's like a Bobby Bonilla contract. No.
Wow.
It's, Cephas is the only receiver they have under contract. And I guess maybe Geronimo Allison is going to come back or something. He was on COVID.
Cephas, who they called Peter. Yes.
He did the COVID opt-out thing. Nice. And then the other one, which I think is totally fitting, the post-game thread of the Bucks-Lions game has 187 comments. As a comparison, how many do you think the Bears-Jags post-game thread has?
I would say at least five times that.
Correct. A couple thousand. Tells you where the fans are at for the Lions. I wouldn't bother talking about the Lions anywhere if you weren't a Bears fan who had a Lions bit on your podcast. No, I just thought that was kind of funny. So, all right. So
hey, I got one more thing here for you.
Okay.
This is a website, DetroitSportsNation.com. Here's the headline. All-time horrendous Detroit Lions defense hits for the cycle.
Nice.
I thought that headline was like, ooh, I got to read this. So here, the Detroit Lions defense has not only been bad in 2020, but it has also been all-time bad. In fact, heading into week 17, the Lions are just 262 yards shy of breaking their franchise record for most yards allowed in a single season. Like 262, they're going to break that. On Sunday, the Lions defense was slaughtered by Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense to the tune of 47 points. But according to Doug Farrar, the Lions defense was so bad last Sunday that they managed to hit for the cycle against the Bucs, allowing TD passes while in four different defenses. And here's the tweet. Congratulations to the Lions, who against the Buccaneers allowed two touchdowns in cover one, two touchdowns in cover three, one touchdown in quarters, and one touchdown in cover six.
That's a lot of touchdowns to begin with.
That's fantastic. But just the idea of hitting for the second, like mixing the metaphor like that, that's sports metaphor. Great. I just thought that was beautiful.
Oh, and I got one other one. Their subreddit, their subtitle for their subreddit is Undefeated in Super Bowls. I do enjoy their sense of humor, the poor guy.
Yes.
Other news. Cody Parker, another kick. That's just what he does.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, not only missing
about bad former Bears.
But hitting the post, he's still hitting the post.
It's like he's trying to.
Maybe he's punking the league all this time, you know. But I love to see that too. Again, it's like now you know. And what if he prevents Cleveland from advancing this week? Because they got a win, and do they need some help?
Cleveland Browns thing to do.
Does Cleveland need help this week?
I think if they win, they're good. Winning they're playing in, okay. A real team. Right now, the Colts are the ones on the outside looking in, but the Browns play the Steelers.
Hmm.
And the guy I know who's a Browns fan had posted that it was great they beat the Ravens, but he can't take them seriously until they can also beat the Steelers. And then they went out and lost to the Jets in the week before the game against the Steelers. I should probably check on him. So the problem for the Browns is they play the Steelers and the Colts play Jacksonville.
Ah, so the Colts are going to win.
And the Ravens, who do the Ravens play?
They must remember. They must play the other North team, the other AFC North team. Who is that?
Do they play the Bengals already again?
They must play the Bengals.
They do.
Again.
You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the three that are fighting for that spot, if they all win, there's an 11-5 team out of the playoffs.
Wow.
But out of the three, Cleveland easily has the toughest opponent. I don't think Pittsburgh's seeding is locked in, but Roethlisberger's out.
Mm.
So. No,
crazy.
Crazy last week. The NFL
it's going to be a fun Sunday
here, and it's a crazy final week.
Hey, before I let you go, can I shift gears for a second to baseball? Because the Cubs made a major move that I would love the Cardinal fan perspective on, if you have any perspective. The Cubs trade Yu Darvish to the Padres and Caratini, his catcher.
Say this is not gloating because the Cardinals front office has basically sat on their hands since the Goldschmidt trade, in though they have a terrible offense, great pitching, and they never bother to fix anything. So I'm frustrated with my own team. But if I were a Cubs fan, I think I'd be pretty upset that they got such a terrible return for him.
Hmm.
I can see the idea of selling high on him. I mean, he's a guy who's been hurt a bunch since you signed him and had a great year in an abbreviated season.
He's 34.
But a journeyman starter and a bunch of single A players, like, whoa, he's not worth more than that? I thought Ricketts – I listened to enough score to hear all this. Ricketts shot himself in the foot when he was talking about how much money they'd spent on all this stuff they did for the, you know, Wrigleyville and renovating this and that, and that they were going to have to trim payroll. And there goes your leverage. Like, what? I thought you were a good businessman. What are you doing? And the Cubs are not better, that's for sure, than they were. And they're trading Contreras, I guess, or shopping him.
Those are the rumors, yeah, that Contreras is now, yeah.
I mean, I know the division is wide open, but the Cubs still have a good core. And my other thing is, I just don't think you should do a whole lot based, if you're a baseball team, off of the 2020 season.
Mm.
That's I know the playoffs, the offense has died like three straight years, but there's still some really nice talent on that roster. But now there's no pitching.
Yeah. Yeah, Hendricks.
Like it fell apart awfully fast despite the playoff struggles.
Yeah, and the
Hendricks and a poo-poo platter in the rotation.
Right. And it's not been the pitching that's held the Cubs back. It's been the offense. It's been the hitting. So
that's true, but now the pitching's going to stink too, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to
get those. The Cardinals and the Reds are the best teams in the division. The Reds are losing Bauer. The Cardinals can't hit. I mean, it's a terrible division right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the Cubs didn't just go ahead and seize it.
And maybe they thought they can still win it with, you know, letting.
Yeah, I hate that too. And that's the Cardinals' motto: contend for a wild card in a division, and then hope you get hot in the playoffs because that's what they do. I hate it though. Like, come on, if the Padres or the Dodgers don't win the NL, it should be considered a total fluke at this point.
Yeah.
Plenty of offseason to go. But
man, I'm so mad though that the Cubs aren't the Dodgers. You know what I mean? We really thought they were. We Cub fans really thought they were after 15 and 16. Like, here we go. All right. You know, we won a World Series, and it's going to be the first of a few over the next 5 or 6 years. And no, didn't work out. And it's the Dodgers that kept going back. So.
Yeah. And my cousin had sent me a tweet from somebody talking about how has anyone lost goodwill as fast as Ricketts based on
I don't think this. So.
I mean, it's just like it went from Cubs town to Sox, not town, but Sox are the better team in the snap of a fingers. I mean, I don't know what the Cubs are doing. There's their whole like Theo knew it and that's why he left stuff is pretty interesting too.
Yeah. I think part of it too is that, you know, the Chicago area is very blue, very liberal, and Ricketts is a strong Trump supporter. So I think
That's plays definitely into why Burnsy can't stand him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think that's part of it too. It's like, I think some people were primed to be mad at him.
Had to give him a baseball reason.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got to say, the new TV deal and then trimming payroll looks kind of shady, even if you lost money without the butts in the seats.
It does.
They got the big new billion-dollar TV deal, just like the Cardinals. Another reason I'm annoyed that they don't do anything. The division nobody wants to win.
Yeah,
well, that baseball episode in a couple months is going to be fun.
yes it will. Yeah, all right, so in conclusion, Bears probably going to make the playoffs because the Rams are probably going to beat the Cardinals. Is that,
although I do see now that Murray's playing supposedly, but he's still definitely banged up.
He has not been that good though.
Dog Rams, is that blasphemy?
Yes
it is.
Go say three Hail Dickas.
Can I ask you one last thing? I'm sorry. I don't want to break up a new big 10-minute topic, but do you want to go to the playoffs because the Rams beat the Cardinals and you got stomped by Green Bay? Like, does that sound fun? Is that a satisfying season to you?
Honestly, after a 6-game skid, I'm okay.
Anything beats that. Okay, I can buy that.
But, you know, yeah, the idea of, oh, boy, Green Bay beat us again. But, you know, once you're in the playoffs, maybe they learn enough. Who knows? I mean, there are cases in history where a team lost to the division team twice in the season but then beat them in the playoffs.
If the Bears are 9-7 and in the playoffs, or even 8-8 and in the playoffs, how many times will Matt Nagy make the team watch New York Giants videos from those two seasons where they won the Super Bowl with a bad record?
Yeah, that's a good but I mean they were 9-7 one year, the Giants.
Beat the 15-1 Green Bay Packers.
They sure did.
That was a thing.
That's the year that Green Bay looked unstoppable.
By the way, we're pretty close to having a comp to that with the Chiefs. Defending champs, 15-1, look unbeatable. Watch the Dolphins make the playoffs and somehow beat them. Wouldn't that be just totally ridiculous? It's magic, baby.
Oh, that would be amazing.
How did they beat the Raiders? What was that? Bears won the Mac trade. Woo!
Well, and look at where San Francisco is now too. And I don't think you can say that the Bears really screwed either one of those things up. But
no. By the way, on the Mac trade, both teams used the picks the last couple of years to do a running back and a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears might have gotten the better player at each position.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely did it corner.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
I don't want to hear about the trade anymore. Now you can talk about his extension all you want and see if that's worth it. But the trade, the Bears won the trade.
And the Raiders have no chance of going to the playoffs. So
there you are, eliminated.
Yep. 3 years later, I think it's safe to say that the Bears got the better end of that.
Look at us. We found a happy note to end on.
The Bears. Yeah. Bring it on.
I love the Bears. Thanks, George.
All right, let's talk Sunday after the game, and yeah, see how we're good. Yeah, the Bears game and the Rams Cardinals game are going to be at the same time, so man, there's gonna
very
be
very much to make sure both teams are playing.
That is going to make my blood pressure bad.
I'm not going to be doing well at 325.
I'm going to be pumping that cheese through my arteries.
Oh gosh, I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not like Green Bay cheese. I just
meant okay, that. Well, you can't make a cheese comment Packer week.
Yeah, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
Now I got to go say three Hail Dickus.
Hail Hollis.
Hail Hollis. Hail Papa, yeah, who art in heaven.
Oh, no. I started this.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
I love the Bears.
Before I get out of here, I do quickly want to just say something about the Yu Darvish trade for the Cubs and my feelings on it. First of all, the big thing for me is that what this symbolizes or what this means, and that's that the organization feels that they are no longer contending. And that's the part that's the saddest thing, I guess, the hardest thing to take about all this is that they are not going to be one of the best teams in baseball like we've been expecting the last 5 or 6 seasons now. And it's been great. It's been fun. But for whatever reason, the bats just quit towards the end of the season and into the postseason. Maybe they're just figured out. Maybe the league realized, oh, you know, you pitch these guys low, you know, curveballs, sliders that go down and in or even down and out. They're, you know, the launch angles and all, they're not going to hit it. And they're going to, you know, out of whatever reason, the offense is just not, it's been figured out and they can't produce in the postseason. So that could be why some of these younger prospects were exchanged for Darvish, because they have a different plate approach. I have no idea. I'm just speaking off the cuff about this. I don't know, but I do know that something's got to change with the offense, and maybe this is part of that. And Darvish is the best player on the team right now, at least in terms of what you could get for him. So that's what they did. And you know, the minor league system, the Cubs farm system, is depleted. I mean, they gave away so much, not just for 2016, but in the years that followed, you know, with the Quintana trade, and it just lots of pieces that aren't there anymore. So they had to do something to rebuild, replenish the farm system. This is a step towards that too. So yeah, it stinks. The championship window is closed. However, the fact that Bryant and Baez are not mentioned right now in any of these trade rumors makes me think that the Cubs think they can still have them in their prime when they're ready to make another run again in 3-4 years. So there's that. But yeah, the pitching staff is not going to be that good now for a while. And the good news is, like I was talking with Mark, that the division is not really going anywhere either. So maybe the Cubs think they can still win the division as a, you know, 85-88 win team. Who knows? But it is sad to say that, yeah, that 2016 team is officially, that window is officially closed. So that is a bummer. More about that, though, as we get into the baseball season. So thanks again for listening. Oh, it's going to be a fun Sunday. Whew, can't wait. I'm excited and nervous, as I'm sure all Bears fans are at this point. So appreciate you listening. You can find me on Twitter at MeatballComp34 or send me an email, themeatballcomposer@mail.com. Talk to you on Sunday.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.
The Bears.
The Bears.
I love the Bears.